Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello, this is Henry Will, and welcome to another pmlessonslearned.com conference call. Now, this is going to be podcast number 29. Today is February the 21st, 2008. And again, I'm Henry Will, PMP, and I am the host of this call and the founder of pmlessonslearned.com. PMLessonsLearn.com is a group of project managers helping project managers. We have several calls a month. There's this call that we have on, I guess you could say it's project management best practices. We have this call every third Thursday every month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. Eastern Time. And then we also have a call on the first Thursday every month. And that is our PMP exam study group call for those folks that are studying for the PMP exam. And now we also have a project management or a PM job shop call where we talk about project management job openings. We usually will try to have some recruiters on there at job openings. We will usually have some folks that are looking for project management job openings. We have that call usually. We were doing it before on the second and fourth Thursdays, but we have a new leader now, and we decided starting out so that he could, you know, get a little exercise and a little experience with getting the call started. We're going to be doing that next week, February the 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. There's details going to be posted on the website shortly. If you're someone looking for a project management job or know of a project management job opening, that's the call to be on. That's the way to let people know about those openings and to hear about openings. We also have that call available for 1 week via the telephone dial-in so you can listen to the recording. That information is also on the website on the left-hand side. The Project Management Job Shop call is going to now be hosted by Satnam Bansal. He will be hosting this going forward. Linda Wortman, who has done it for so many months, and we're really thankful to her help, for her help. She's been doing it, and she's not able to do that anymore. I think she probably will still be participating with the group in some way, and we look forward to hearing from her again soon. So Satnam will be taking over that call, and then we'll also be having that call. Then it will be we're planning right now having that that would be on the second Thursday every month. For starters, we're going to be doing that call once a month. So please tell folks about that. I'd also like to mention real quick that I would hope that you all have signed up for our free Yahoo group. There's a link on our web page. You can go there now if you're not already a member and sign up and gain access to our file section where there's a presentation for tonight's presentation on Microsoft Project Tips. That file is located in the files section of our Yahoo group. Again, it's free to join. The link is on our homepage at pmlessonslearned.com. You also see that once you do join the Yahoo group, there is a link on our web page that will take you directly to the files section. And under the files section, there's a directory there that says materials for conference calls. And you'll see in that area there, in that folder, that there should be the file for today's conference call. It will have today's dates, and it'll say MS Project Tips on there. After a few, maybe a couple of weeks, we'll be moving that into a folder below there that will be archives of previous conference calls, so we'll make that still available to folks that are listening in via podcast. And we'd like to also encourage people that are listening in by podcast to join our Yahoo group. It ends up that I'm hearing some, I don't know how to say this, but I'm hearing some people saying that perhaps we won't be able to advertise about our calls the way that we have been in the past and some of the outlets that we've been using. So if you still want to be informed and you're hearing about the calls through some other means besides our Yahoo group, you may want to join the group so that you are still kept on the list and updated with information about our calls. We're also going to be sending out through that list project management career information. We're also going to be sending out information for how to do project management best practices and other vital information for project managers. And if you'd like to volunteer to help out with that, we'd be sure happy to have you help. Just send us a message via the Contact Us link on our homepage. And please do tell others about joining our Yahoo group. We have the ability for them to join that. You can even invite them through the link on our homepage on the left-hand side. Just type in their email address, and then they'll get an email that they have to accept in order to join the group. It's a very easy two-step process. And I want to mention, too, that this podcast will be available not only through iTunes, so you can listen on your computer, but, of course, you could download it to your MP3 player via the post that we'll be putting on the webpage, and you'll be able to listen to it on the telephone, too. This will be available for about a week until the next call comes along. We just record over the top of the phone recording every week, but, of course, we also make it available on the website. Again, if you have any questions or any suggestions for future topics, you can always go to our Contact Us link on our homepage, and we'd be more than happy to hear about your suggestions for the group and any way that you'd like to become involved. We just had somebody just recently, Scott, who contacted me, and he's putting together a list of recruiters as we gather them so that we can contact those recruiters to become part of our PM job shop calls. The last announcement that I wanted to make was that if you're interested in the cruise, some of the members of the PMLessonsLearn.com group are going on a cruise with the New Jersey chapter of the PMI. That cruise is slated for May the 17th. It's a four-night cruise from Bayonne, New Jersey, which is just outside of New York City, to Bermuda. It's a four-day cruise, if I remember correctly. Returns on the 22nd of May. And the deadline for registering for that cruise is quickly approaching. It's February the 29th, the last day of this month, is the last day that you can register to go with us on that cruise. So if you're interested, you better start inquiring and you better sign up quickly because the cabins are filling up and we're coming down to the deadline now if you want to be a part of it. Again, I want to mention that if you would please press star 6 on your phone to mute your phone while we're talking, I'd appreciate it. We do have a question and answer period towards the end of the call, and you'll be invited to participate in that. We like to make our calls participatory. And when you do want to talk, you can always push star 6 again to unmute your phone. And we ask that if you have a speaker phone, that you please pick up the receiver so we could hear you better. On tonight's call, we're going to have a presentation on the subject of Microsoft Project Tips. I talked to our presenter this evening, James Stuhler, through an acquaintance that I met in the company that I work for, and I found out that he knew a lot about Microsoft Project. I asked him some questions that I had, and he had such a knowledge of it, and he's taught classes on it before, that I thought maybe he would be a great asset to our call, and he agreed to give this presentation this evening. He's retired from IBM Corporation. He retired in 2000 after 35 years of service there. He held technical and management positions in manufacturing engineering, product development, some product planning he did, and also in project management. His last position at IBM was in product development as a team leader. He led a team responsible for a new product that consisted of product planning, hardware and software development, product test, manufacturing, service, marketing, sales, and finance. So he's well-rounded. He's got a lot of experience. So when he talks to us about Microsoft Project, first of all, I think you'll see that he has a real working knowledge of how to use this tool. And second of all, after we field some of those questions, you might want to ask him some general questions about project management. This is a person that has more than three decades of experience. Jim is currently a project management consultant and an instructor. He's been doing instruction and consulting under project management for many different companies, especially in the areas of project planning, control, risk management, quality management, and manufacturing process control. So he's available to provide training for both project management and Microsoft project training at companies and educational institutions. If you'd like to get a hold of him, please reach him via the Contact Us link on our website, or if you'd like, I'm sure Jim will be providing his contact information to us, and I'll be sure to put that on the notes of this conference call when I post them on our website in a few days. Jim, thank you very much for being with us, and at this point, I'd like to say thank you for taking the time to present, and you could take it away.
Thank you, Henry, and hello to all you folks out there. I'm sitting in Boulder, Colorado, where we had a nice sunny day today, and I skied yesterday and the day before, so get a little plug in here for the ski resorts out here in Colorado. We need to keep our state green, you know, with money flowing in here. Henry, I commend you and the other volunteers. I'm very impressed with what I've seen about PM Lessons Learned on the website and the things that you're doing. I know your time is all volunteered, and I think that's outstanding that you would do that for our mutual profession of project management.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
I want to... can you hear? Am I coming through okay?
I think you could probably be just a little louder, maybe.
All right.
Maybe if you sat a little closer to the phone.
I will let me know if this isn't coming through good enough, and I'll get back on the handset. I want to correct one thing. Henry said that I was a Microsoft project wizard or expert, and I really do not consider myself a Microsoft project expert. In fact, I've only met one person that I might consider being an expert, but I have used Microsoft Project since back in Project 98 days, and I do teach classes. I teach initiating in a planning class on planning projects, and Microsoft Project is demonstrated as a tool, and I teach an executing, controlling, managing, and closing class, and again, I use Microsoft Project as a tool in that class, and I use some other tools as well, but with my acquaintance with it, I hopefully could answer some questions that you have. And when I talked to Henry about having tonight's little lesson, I mentioned to him that how the scheduler works in Microsoft Project, I find in the classes that I teach, is one of the most misunderstood or ununderstood functions in Microsoft Project. So the slides that Henry mentioned that are out on the internet are what I'll go through tonight. And when I do this in the when I teach in the classroom, I like to ask questions to see what my the attendees know, so that I can kind of orient the direction that I take. But I guess Henry, it'd be pretty hard to have a interactive session. Is that correct?
Well, Jim, sometimes we've had some interactive sessions where we've, you know, had the presenter stop and say, are there any questions out there on this page, or do you have any questions about what we just spoke about? I mean, we've even had discussions on the phone, so we can make it pretty interactive. It's basically just a conference call, and we'd like to make it as interactive as suits you and your presentation. So that would be fine. If you'd like, we can ask people to take themselves off of mute and ask questions or chime in with any comments, or maybe if you want to ask questions and see what kind of results you get. I know that sometimes we have some people that are a little shy on the phone, but we'll see what happens.
Well, we're incognito, I guess. So I hope anybody that has a question will speak up. And, of course, we'll have time for questions at the end of the session. So the subject is just a very small part of Microsoft Project, and that's how Microsoft Project schedules time and effort. And I'll tell you, when I first started using, in fact, for the first couple of years I used Microsoft Project, I didn't have a clue as to how the scheduler worked. I did know that, you know, I generally, if I wanted to shorten the duration of a task, I generally would add resource to it. And I learned that sometimes the task actually got longer. Sometimes I couldn't see it changing time at all. And I found that the resources were, instead of shortening the schedule, the resources were only working part-time on the task, or nothing changed. And so I'm going to talk about the crazy relationships between duration of a task, work that's assigned to a task, and resources. Any questions about that so far? So I'm going to go to the third slide, and there's a very simple-looking formula that work is equal to duration times the units. In other words, if you have a task that's going to last 8 hours, and there's one person working on it, working 100% of the time, so then the duration times the units would say, you would hope that that's 8 hours of work. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, another way of writing that same formula is on the next slide. This is the one I like to talk about in the classes that I teach. Duration, if you just divide that previous formula, both sides of the formula, by the by the units, and think of the units are associated with a resource. So you have a number of people, and they're working a certain percentage of time. And typically, the default is that they're working 100% of the time. In other words, if they're working 8 hours, they'd be putting in a solid 8 hours. Duration, another way of writing that formula, is duration is work divided by resources. And so if I have, let's say I have 40 hours of work that has to be done. A typical example you might think of is I'm going to paint a couple of rooms in my house, and I estimate it's going to take 40 hours to do this painting. If there's one person on it and they're working full time, I ask you what the duration would be. Anybody care to answer that? Is everybody still there? I hope.
I would say 5 days.
Typically, you think it was 5 days. Now, this, of course, would depend on your calendar. But let's assume that that the normal work day is 8 hours, and so one person working. Working for 40 hours would typically be 8 divided into 40 is 5 days. Assuming that's the case for the moment, let's say that we add a second resource. So now there's two of us. Does anybody want to take a guess as to what the duration would be in this case?
That would give us 2.5 days at that point, right?
Well, now, there's two words that I teach in my classes that every competent, experienced project manager must know and be able to rattle off the top of their head just as quick as a blink. Anybody want to guess what those two words are?
Jim, this is Henry. I'll give them a hint. The first word is it.
It. Good for for you, Henry. The two words
and the
It depends.
It depends, exactly. Exactly. So now if we had 40 hours of work and a duration of five days, and I add a second resource, you would normally like to think that the duration would change to 2.5 days. But the real answer is it depends. Now, if indeed that second resource, let's say my calendar in Microsoft Project says that I'm available at any time for the next 10 periods of time, so if I plan on starting this task, this painting project, say on a Monday, and I add a second resource on this task, and they're not available until, Thursday, does anybody want to guess when this task will be complete then? Actually, the way Microsoft Scheduler works is it assumes if I've got two people on the task that they each have a role to play, and so it would automatically divide our effort, when I added that second person, into two 20-hour lengths of time. So each of those are 2.5 days. If you're working in eight-hour days. I'm sorry? Is there a question? So in the example I was given, if I added, I'll pick on Henry here. I know he's got a pretty cushy job, but if Henry is off playing golf Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, can't come in until Thursday, he's got to put in his 20 hours before the task will complete. That means he'd be putting in 8 hours on Thursday, 8 hours on Friday, and 4 hours the following Monday. So a task that I could have had completed by myself by Friday now isn't going to get completed until Monday. Everybody understand that? So this was one of the things that confused me when I first started using Microsoft Project. So let's say Henry is still available, and he's going to help me with this, and he is available this week, and I add him to in Microsoft Project. I would like to think that the duration would now decrease by 50%. Everybody agree with that? There is a difference between an effort-driven task and a duration-driven task. And if it's an effort-driven task, an example of an effort-driven task is painting a room. Normally, it takes so many hours of work to paint a room. A duration-driven task is a task that is dependent on the duration, not the work. So a good example of a duration-driven task would be a class that I might teach. If it's a 8-hour class, it's going to be 8 hours whether two students show up or whether 10 show up. Everybody understand that? So now,
Jim?
Yes.
Jim, I guess one way to look at it is, the class would be 8 hours whether there was one instructor or two instructors.
That's another way you can look at it, right?
Because you still have to cover the same subject matter. There's 8 hours worth of subject matter. You just have two people presenting it now, but it's still going to take 8 hours.
Exactly. A more typical example than a class would be a meeting. You have a meeting scheduled for 10 hours, and it's supposed to be your department in it. You have a meeting scheduled for 2 hours. There's going to be 10 people in it, and some other people decide they'd like to come to the meeting. it's still going to be a two-hour meeting. So duration is kind of fixed in a duration-driven task, the same as work is kind of fixed in an effort-driven task. I hope that makes sense to everybody. So when I add a second person to this to a task, if the task is duration-driven, instead of the duration changing, what will change when I add a second person? Anybody want to take a guess? So I've got, I have 40 hours of work, and I can do it in 40 hours in a week. I add a second resource. And let's say that it is a duration driven as opposed to effort driven. What changes?
Would it be the work?
Are you saying it depends, or are you saying it would be the work?
I guess I'll default to the safe. It depends.
Exactly. Exactly. Give that man an A. Because now, besides worrying whether it is an effort-driven or duration-driven task, Microsoft Project provides you the ability of setting three different task types. Those three task types are fixed work, fixed duration, and fixed units. Now, units are the percentage that's associated with the number of resources that are assigned. So, for instance, if I have a duration-driven task, and I have 40 hours of work, and I now assign a second person to this, since it's duration-driven, the duration won't change, and I can make it fixed work, and the work won't change. Now what's left to change? Anybody?
Resources.
Well, Microsoft Project will not change the resources, that is, the number of people or the names of them, but it will change the percent of time that they're putting in on it. So if I had this 40-hour of work, that and the duration was 5 days, and it was a fixed work task type, and I added a Henry or somebody else to assist me with it, I'd find out when I went in and I saw that the duration didn't change and the work didn't change. And after I pulled out, in the old days, a couple of handfuls of hair, I'd notice that the resources were only putting in 50% of the time. They're only working half time. Everybody understand that? So there's two things. If I go to the next slide, you have to know what the task type is. Fixed units, you can fix the units, and by golly, if you say it's fixed units, the units will never change no matter what you do to task, unless you change the units yourself, of course. If you say it's fixed duration, the duration isn't going to change, and if it's fixed work, the amount of work that you've assigned will not change. Now, the next slide says that once you've set what type of task it is, then task can be either effort-driven or duration-driven. And it takes knowing both of those things to predict what will happen when you change anything on a task. Like if you change a duration, you want to know whether the work's going to change, whether the units are going to change, and you can figure that out. You keep in mind what is an effort-driven and what is a duration-driven task and what is fixed in that task. Now, the next slide indicates what I've already, in essence, alluded to, an effort-driven task or tasks that are driven by the amount of work that's done, such as painting a house, overhauling an engine. If the duration can change by adding more people, then it is effort-driven. But a duration-driven task is tasks that are driven, that are the length of time, irregardless of the number of people that you add or that you change on a task. So, a duration-driven task would be a meeting or a class, something like that. I guess you could say Sunday church service is normally duration-driven. Whether it's on a Christmas day where everybody in the congregation is there, or on a Sunday when there's a Colorado Bronco football game on. Any questions so far?
Jim, this is Henry. I just wanted to remind people, if they do want to ask a question, you can press *6 on your phone to mute and unmute. And I thank people for muting their phones so that we can listen closely to Jim. But if you do have any questions at this time, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to go to the next slide. It's an example. One of the most important functions in Microsoft Project is a task information box. And there's a number of ways of getting to task information. You can double-click on the task. You can on a task. You can select a task, and there's a task information icon on the toolbar. You can right-click on a task, and there's task information. Or you can go to the project information drop-down, and you can select task information in that drop-down. You know, Microsoft has a neat way of a neat business model. I've used, I think, every release of Microsoft Project since Project 98, and every release they come out and fix a large number of problems that were found by the users who paid money for the first initial release. And then, of course, they add a few new bells and whistles, such as another way to get to the task information capability. And then they charge all of us to get this upgrade with all the fixes in it that we found initially. So sometimes I think you can find 4, 5, or 6 ways of doing the same thing in Microsoft Project and some of their other tools. Just a little fun here, guys. That isn't part of the lesson. Now, this next slide is showing task information. Again, you can get to that by just, I generally just double-click on a task. And it opens task information, and then there are a number of tabs. There's a general tab, a predecessors tab, a resource, advanced, a tab where you can put your notes. And then there's a custom fields tab. The tab that is shown on this slide that's called fixed units / effort driven is the advanced tab. That's where you can select whether a task is effort driven or duration driven. It is also where you can select the task type. You see here they have fixed units selected as a task type. If I click on that down arrow, it would show me the three different types of task types that I mentioned previously. And a check mark in the effort-driven box means it's an effort-driven task. Now, I was trying to figure out how to set duration-driven until it hit me that if it's not effort-driven, it must be duration-driven. So if you uncheck that box, the task will be duration-driven.
Jim?
Anybody want? Yes.
So what does it mean if it's got like a little gray box in there instead of a check mark?
That means that it's fixed work. Fixed work is the only task type that you don't have a choice as to whether it's effort-driven or duration-driven. I think I have an example in that in a couple of slides. But you'll see the check mark with a grade, and it's grayed out, and it doesn't allow you to change that if it's a fixed work task. Now, on this particular example, you can see that it's fixed units, effort-driven. I have a question for any of you. Who can guess whether I took this slide from Microsoft Project 2007 or 2003? Anybody want to take a guess?
I'll guess 2003.
That would have been mine, yeah.
Well, I am sad to say that you are both wrong. You remember I told you that every new release, Microsoft Project throws in a new little bell or whistle?
Hmm?
And the reason I used this one, that if you haven't seen 2007 previously, there's a new function on this task information box that does not appear on previous versions of Microsoft Project, and I love it. Can anybody tell what that is? You see a new function on this box that you haven't seen before? Under Constrain Task, everybody sees a Constrain Task. There is a new function that's called deadline. Can you see that? If you can't see that, interrupt here, and we'll make sure everybody can see it. Down below deadline is the normal constraint type, as soon as possible, as late as possible, and so on. And deadline is a function I really appreciate because I teach in my classes to the students. I suggest to them that they use constraints as little as possible or preferably not at all because they can dummy up your project. If you have a date that you need to make, like March 15th, a lot of people say, I'm going to put must start on March 15th. Maybe that's to run a test. And up above, on a complex project, you find out that the thing isn't even developed until about April, May, or June. So in the old days, I used to tell the students to, instead of using a constraint, to use
milestone.
Milestone. Thank you. And then set that for the March 15th date, and then you can see if your critical date moved beyond that. What the deadline does is you can set March 15th on the deadline, and it shows a little arrow underneath March 15th on your Gantt chart. And if your date that you set the deadline for goes beyond March 15th, you get a nice little error message in the indicators band, and that little arrow turns red. So it's a really neat, nice little function to warn you when something is beyond what you were hoping it was going to be. This is just a little aside. It doesn't have anything to do with effort with the scheduler, of course. So this is a fixed units, effort-driven task. Will somebody take a guess as to what the Microsoft Project default normally is? Now, you can, on an individual Microsoft Project tool, you can change those defaults, but out of the box, Microsoft Project has what's set for the effort duration-driven and what is the normal task type. Somebody take a guess? the normal task type out of the box of Microsoft Project is effort-driven fixed units. That means if you put more resources on a task, effort won't change, and fixed units means the units won't change, so the only thing left to change is the duration. Does that make sense to everybody? Now let's go to the next slide, and this is an example of fixed duration, effort driven.
Jim, this is Henry.
Yes.
I have a question. Would it be possible to change what the default is?
Yes, yes, you can set the defaults on your own version.
And where do they get set? Do you remember offhand?
They're in the what you would do is you would select all the tasks and there's a box that says pull up Microsoft Project here. But it's in the tools options function. There's a box where you can say new tasks are effort driven or whatever you want them.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's
but
really
if you
helpful.
Have an entire project plan, you can just simply select the task name and go in and then into the task information box and you can make all of them effort driven fixed units effort driven. Now the second example I have here is fixed duration effort driven, and that means if you add more resources to a task that's fixed duration and effort driven, the units are going to change because the duration isn't going to change and the effort isn't going to change. The last next slide is fixed work effort driven, when you see one of you had a question about the effort driven box being grayed, you can see on this slide effort driven is grayed out. So when it's a fixed work task, effort driven is just a redundant statement, so they gray it out. The next slide is the fixed duration driven example, where the task type's fixed duration and it's duration driven. And the last slide is fixed units duration driven. So if it's fixed units duration driven and you add another resource, the only thing that can change is the amount of work. So those are the five changes. And the reason there aren't six is because fixed work is always effort driven. There's no alternative of a fixed work duration driven. Now, I put together a little box on the next slide, and it gives you, normally, if you have a task that has some kind of effort already assigned to it and some duration and some resources, and you want to change the resources, this chart shows what will change if the task is, for instance, if I look at the leftmost box, if it's a fixed units task, effort driven, yes. If I change the resources, the duration will change. That would be the default in Microsoft Project, and it would be the thing we're probably most accustomed to, that when I add more people to a task, to help me paint, for instance, it's going to shorten the duration. On the other hand, if I change the duration, the work will change. If I look at the furthest right column. If it's a duration-driven task, that means it's not effort-driven, and I change the resources, then the work will change. And if I change the duration, the work still changes. If it's a fixed duration task, this shows what changes, whether it's effort-driven or not. So keep in mind the example I gave you, that it's effort-driven means the work isn't going to change, and it's fixed duration, meaning the duration won't change. When I add some more resources, they're just going to be there part-time. The units will change. Or if I remove a resource, the units for the remaining resource will go up. I remember one time I almost had a nervous breakdown when I found that I was assigned 400% to a particular task. But that's how it works, folks. Fixed work is effort, always effort driven. If you change the resources, you're going to change the duration. If you change the duration, it's going to change the units. So on the summary slide I have here, when you are changing a task, if you want to change a resource or add resources or delete a resource, or if you want to change the duration of a task, and instead of like I used to, which was go take a handful of tranquilizers, when I couldn't figure out what was I doing wrong when I was changing something on a task, try to remember to think as, is this effort-driven or duration-driven? And if so, one of those two things are going to be fixed. And then the next thing to ask is, do I want to fix duration, resources, that is the units, or do I want to fix the work? And it'll make life a lot simpler for you when you go in and start trying to get a task to be a right duration or to have a right amount of work with a certain amount of resources. Okay, Henry, that's all I had to say about Microsoft Project Scheduling, and would be happy to answer any questions about that.
I got a question already.
Go ahead.
What if the resources, the skill levels are different? Like if I were going to do it, I may be able to do it 100%. But maybe if I have another resource coming in who has only the ability to do 25% of what I might do.
One of the things that a lot of people do use units for, and that's why it's common to have fixed units on tasks. Because if you can do it in 8 hours and somebody else can do it in 6 hours, they're only 75% as efficient as you are, right?
I see.
So you would put in 75% on the units for a weaker resource would be a typical way of solving that.
Uh-huh. And then all these are expressed in work days, right? Not calendar days.
No, they're expressed in calendar days.
Oh.
The calendar is what drives the schedule. And the default calendar, the normal calendar most of us work on probably, is 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
But what if it's a rush job?
I'm sorry?
What if it's a rush and you have to put in, you know, more hours and days?
Then there is a way of assigning overtime to a individual resource.
Okay.
Or you can make individual days in the calendar longer.
Okay.
So there's two techniques that you could
this
use.
This is Dave. This is David. You can also create different calendars for different resources as well, and then assign that individual resource to a different calendar. So if you know one person working 10 hours a day, you can create a 10-hour day working calendar and assign that resource to that calendar.
Okay.
This is Thank Henry. You. I just wanted to jump in and say that was David Radkovich. He's the person that runs our PMP exam study group calls. Thank you, David, for chiming in there. I guess you just don't only know about PMI topics, but you know about Microsoft Project too. Thanks for jumping in. Caller, does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions out there?
Additional questions?
Any other questions? Jim, while we're waiting for some other people to come forward with some questions, I did have a question that I mentioned to you, and that the thing that has frustrated me the most in the past about Microsoft Project is once I set up all of my tasks, I've got them all loaded into the tool, and then the thing that I want to do is I put in all my dependencies, but I realize that I can't have all of my resources working at the same time, so I want to do some leveling, and I was wondering if you had any tips or hints or tricks or anything for how to use leveling. I guess after listening to what you just suggested, I'm thinking to myself, gee, I wish I would have known this maybe about 15 years ago or however long ago it was I started using Microsoft Project, maybe not that long, but I guess it seems to me that what you're saying is probably, I think you're going to tell me that the leveling tool does something with the way that the tasks are set up, what type of tasks they are, but I'd like to hear if you have any hints or tips on that.
Well, I have opinions and suggestions. You know, there are Democrats in the world and Republicans in the world and independents in the world. We all have different political views. And I preach to my classes that at times I'm going to give you a stoolerism, that is a opinion of mine, and one of the opinions I teach is to not use leveling or to use it as little as possible. And the reason for that is because you are simply giving over control of your project plan to a tool, and you may or may not have a clue as to how Microsoft Project solves a resource problem. And it can do some pretty crazy things. So an alternative, and what I teach in my classes is a process to go through. And that process is pretty simple. Yes.
Yes, if I could just interrupt. Somebody has their phone not muted, and we can hear background noise. If you could mute your phone, I'd appreciate it. Hearing a lot of background noise there, folks.
A little better.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
So the process that I teach in it, I've got to readily concede that it depends on the complexity of your project plan. This is simpler to do on a shorter project. But the first thing I try to do before worrying about the resources is to crash the schedule as much as possible. And so that you have contingency in your schedule if you can. But when you crash it, try to crash it without making any resource over allocations worse. And the reason for doing this is that gives you an ability to delay tasks or to put lag time in so that you can start solving resource problems. I hope everybody follows that. And you can look at your critical path and try to crash your critical path without making your resource problems worse. Then the second thing is, and I think this may be a preference, a psychological preference, but I am able to work more on the Gantt chart by looking at the picture than I am on looking at tables. And I look to see if there's obvious resource overallocations right on the Gantt chart. And if they are, I try to correct those before I go to the next step. And the next step is a very powerful view. It's called the resource allocation view. Henry, have you ever used that?
Yes, I've used that before. That's one of my favorites too. So that I can see if people are overallocated.
That's where you can see whether they're overallocated. And since you're showing the Gantt bars that in the bottom, for those of you who are not familiar with the resource allocation view, it automatically splits the screen and it puts a Gantt chart down below. It puts the resource resource view on the top, and for each resource that you select, if you select it with your cursor, it displays down below what task are they working on. It displays graphically what tasks they're working on. Also in that view, You see all of your resources, so it's very easy to scroll up and down and see if you can find a resource. If you have a resource that's overallocated, you can go to and you see there's another resource that has a similar skill. You can go to the Gantt bar down below, double-click on that task, and you can replace the resource that's overallocated with a resource that isn't doing anything during that period of time. And then you go through that process to try to fix all of the gross over allocation problems. Then, as a last resort, if you're only down to one or two resources, a couple of minor problems, rather than spending hours on trying to solve it, then I suggest that you, by all means, try to level as a last resource, so that you don't spend 80% of your time solving a 20% problem, if you follow me. Henry, that's how I do my personnel over allocations.
Right, yeah, that's very helpful. A lot of times the type of project scheduling that I've done has been with software development, as I know you're familiar with that as well, and we'll have a number, I would say a large number, of totally independent tasks that aren't so much dependent on one another. It seems as though usually they're not dependent on each other more than they are dependent on each other. And as a result, what I usually do is I put in, I don't know what you want to call it, like kind of ghost dependencies. I mean, there are dependencies in the tool, but I'll make, if I know that a certain resource has certain abilities in an area, then I'll assign those tasks that make sense for that resource to do.
Exactly.
To that resource. Yeah, and then what I do is I make them dependent on each other so they get strung out in the Gantt chart, and I'll make those allocations, and then I'll kind of, like you said, I like to look at the Gantt chart view. I find I can work with that better. And once I have them, the dependencies mapped out, then I can look to see and say, okay, I've got resource one here has, 2 months worth of work, and resource three has 3 months worth of work. Now I have to look for a task for the second resource and see if there's something there that I can take off of his list and give to the first resource so that I can kind of even out the project so that I come to the, you know, the conclusion at the same time for that phase or whatever. And I find that that's very helpful for me. Again, I can look at the resource allocation view to make sure that I haven't assigned multiple tasks at the same time to the same resource, because, you know, I'm simplifying it here because, you know, usually I don't just have two resources. There's multiple resources. But once you go through that process, you could look at that resource view to find out if you've made a mistake, if you want to call it that, and over-allocated somebody. And then, you know, you could put a dependency back in to make the, you know, make their work make more sense, because that's the way that they would do it. But I find that process helps a lot, too. I do a lot of my leveling manually, as you're suggesting, because I just have never found the leveling tool to work the way that I was expecting. So,
well, I, from what you've described, I'd say that's an excellent process you're using. You know, when you use leveling, you'll find tasks that are split, and then you sit and you scratch your head and you say, well, I wonder how that got split. Or you find a task that's not on a critical path and it's stuck way out in time, and some of the resources are saying, you know, I'm available today. Why did you put me on this resource way out a month out in the future, and so on? So that's what I meant by saying that you're giving over control of your project to the tool as opposed to you controlling it.
Right. Yeah.
So anything else?
Anybody else have any questions for Jim at this point? Are there any relatively, you know, just on a project management topic, because Jim does have so much experience, does anybody have any general project management questions that they want to throw out to the group? And maybe either Jim or one of our other project managers on the call could field the question.
Henry, I always start my classes by telling the students that I have made every mistake it's possible for a project manager to make. So I'd be happy to tell you how I goofed up if you want to ask me any questions about some mistake you may have made. Is it all right to give everybody my internet address? I'm just a
I was going to ask you if you could give us your contact information, please.
I'd be happy to fly out and help any of you that might need some assistance. It's Jim Stuhler. You've got my name on the first page. It's all one word, jimstuhler@hotmail.com.
Yes, and I will put that, Jim, in the notes from today's call when I put out the MP3 recording. I'll put that in the notes so that people can contact you if they'd like to. Again, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us this evening. I wish that I would have known. I can think of quite a few number of times when I was scratching my head, and I wish I would have known these, which they seem like the simplest of ideas, but I wish I would have known them.
Jim, you're still doing training? Is that what I heard?
Yes, I do on a part-time basis. I teach some project management classes for some companies and for one of the universities in the area here.
And how long does it take you to go through a complete Microsoft project class? How many days?
A class that I teach at Colorado State University, I teach a 3-hour class once a week for 7 weeks.
Okay.
I've taught classes for, I've taught a class recently for a local, not local, but down in Denver technology company in 16 hours. So in that range.
Thank you.
So I did want to mention that, of course, I probably should mention as a disclaimer that Microsoft Project is owned and copyrighted by Microsoft, and we're not associated with them in any way. But I do want to thank Jim for being with us this evening. Of course, we're going to be staying on after the call, as we usually do after I stop the recording. We usually have some good discussion afterwards. Jim may stay with us, or he may have to get going, because I know he probably wants to go skiing again. And I want to also mention to folks, too, that we do like testimonials. We've had a few people sending us testimonials recently from other countries besides the United States. We had one from New Zealand and some other places recently. We thank the folks for sending them in. And you'll see there's a link on our website now on the left-hand side to testimonials if anybody would like to. I mean, we love testimonials. We like to know that we're doing a good job and that it's helping people. So if you want to send some in, again, the contact us link. And we want to thank everyone for joining us, and we pray that you folks will please, please, please invite other people to the group. Invite people to come along. Think about the cruise. We'd like to have you participate in our cruise with us. We'd like to meet you and be on a nice vacation with you if you'd like to be part of that. We'd appreciate it. And again, thanks to Jim Stuhler for being with us this evening. I will post notes and an outline from tonight's meeting when I post the recording. Of course, you could always listen in by phone as well. That information is posted on our website. That'll be available within a few minutes after we finish this call this evening. Thank you all for attending. I appreciate those of you that attend and get on our calls and ask questions. And there are, I always like to say, there's no stupid questions. We've all had the bumps in the road, so that's what we're here for, is to help each other out. And I'd like to end by saying God bless you all and keep on learning.
That sure was a lot of helpful information, wasn't it? Please join us for a future conference call. We currently have several calls a month. Join our Yahoo group for more information about our calls and information to further your project management career. Membership is free. Details are at pmlessonslearned.com. We hope you'll continue to listen in to our podcasts and tell others about our podcasts and our group. PMLessonsLearned.com. We're all about project managers helping project managers. And until next time, keep on learning.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project managers helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at PMLessonsLearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.